Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Hi-dee-ho, podcast-a-roonies! It's Kinky and the Geek!
Podcast-a-roonies?
Yeah.
What the hell's a podcast-a-roonie?
What's hi-dee-ho, neighbor-roonies? It's a really bad Flanders, okay?
Okay, that's awesome.
Podcast-a-roonies.
We'll have to remember that. Actually, we should go on Twitter and be like, hey, podcast-a-roonies, what's up? That's excellent. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I could really muster up. I'm not feeling incredibly perky tonight.
No, I was so into that.
Okay.
I was moved.
You're moved?
I was moved.
Moved in the bowel sort of way?
I may have a movement later over that.
I need to have a movement. Which is... That's a whole different thing of what perky.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Now you know more about our bowels.
Yay!
Because, you know, colon health is very important.
Right. Exactly.
Get your colons checked.
We are just sharing kinds of people.
Yeah, just what you want to do is go and get that snake shoved up your butt, you know, once you get to a certain age.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you're... I thought I was the kinky
one. Bill Engvall talking about how he had to go to the whole colonoscopy thing.
Yeah.
And he was just thinking he's going to wake up seeing some janitor going, okay, wrapping the cable around his arm like you do electrical cords. Going, okay, we're done here. He has a whole, I forgot what it's called. It was his latest one because he had one that was 15 degrees. What he called it, the name of it was 15 degrees
uh-huh.
cool.
Uh-huh.
But
that's like a whole lot more degrees.
Yeah, and then
cool.
it's an older
colonoscopy jokes.
And the older one is basically, well, he's more the real, you know, he's part of the whole blue collar where he tends to do more of the family oriented type thing. But what I mean by family oriented is him. A growing older and growing
him
up.
I'm not crazy about Jeff Foxworthy. I think is just done. Larry the Cable Guy, I just want to pop him. But Ron White, is fucking hilarious.
Love Ron White.
I love him.
What I like about Foxworthy is more than just his
shtick.
His shtick of you might be a redneck cause, because he's another one that he's more along the lines of the Bill Cosby storytelling type guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get past the whole you might be a redneck thing,
his
other stuff is actually pretty funny.
I have seen his other stuff. I'm just not crazy about it. But yeah, Ron White, he's fucking hilarious.
And Engvall seems to go more the married, you know, the latest one is, you know, his youngest is now off to college and having to deal with the whole empty nest thing.
Yeah.
And he's talking about wanting to spice up his love life.
Uh-huh.
So when his wife goes off to run an errand or something, he learned from reading Esquire or GQ or something about, you know, tie a bow around it. It'll be like, you know, a present for both of you. So he decided to basically, she goes off, he gets buck naked and puts a bow on his cock.
Uh-huh.
And he hears her getting ready to come into the door and he's posing.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he hears his friend's voice, too, that she happened to run into, so he has to duck into the closet.
Nice, nice.
Where there's nothing but her raincoat, but it's see-through, because it goes with everything! So he's trapped in the closet for like 20 minutes as they're looking for him, because his clothes are on the bed with his cell phone and his keys, and they have no idea where he went.
Nice.
So, you know, and it's the whole here's your sign thing because it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, because there are reasons
and they're
why.
They're cute, but they just anyone who goes with a shtick like that, it just gets old.
Well, that's why they don't do it as much.
Yeah.
Actually, the best part of the Blue Collar Tour show is at the end when they're all four of them come out.
Oh, and they do like the.
And basically kind of sit. And basically this is what they would do when they were on the road is because you get done with your show. Mm-hmm. You're too wired to go to sleep.
Right.
So they go to like a Waffle House or something and sit around and try to crack each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Larry the Cable Guy thing.
God, I just find him fucking obnoxious.
When you realize it's. That's not his actual personality. That's the persona.
I don't care. I find him obnoxious regardless. And I guess growing up in the South,
right?
I know people like him. I have people like him in my extended family. They're not fucking cute. with their, you know, clinging desperately to their ignorance.
Right.
I find it obnoxious.
But the best one out of all of them that they did, mm-hmm. is just find one where they basically had their family members mm-hmm. send the production uh-huh. old photos
nice.
Of the four of them. And uh-huh. they're going through, like, a slideshow, and they uh-huh. don't know what's coming up.
Oh, nice.
And
nice.
It's some extremely... Like,
embarrassing.
Jeff Foxworthy with the spiked up mullet and the one piece jumpsuit leaning on the Camaro.
Nice. You know?
Larry the Cable Guy, and you remember the old fashioned Wendy's outfits?
Mm-hmm.
The white, the powder blue and white striped with the big hat.
I don't, but I remember you talking about it before.
But him standing, basically him as a mm-hmm. teenager in that outfit standing uh-huh. outside the Wendy's, and the nice. Manager happens to be in the window, and you kind of can see him going. it's things like that.
Uh-huh.
And that just find that one part just because just seeing some of the shit that yeah. comes across.
I think of some of the photos that exist of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like that anywhere. I mean, yeah. I mean, I had like spiky trying to do the whole spiky Don Johnson hairdo uh-huh. and it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the huge poofy bangs for years and years and years. Like, I rocked
ball?
The poofy bangs.
Are you talking about the mall ball or the claw ball where it's like.
Yeah,
coming up
well,
front, yeah.
I never had the bangs that went up, but I had the ones that kind of went back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I had huge hair. You know, my hair is curly anyways.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of big anyways, just because it does that
right.
on its own, but add some hairspray and some teasing, and you can only imagine how big that got, so.
Yeah, my sister was the same way. She had it was known as the mall crawl, where basically you take the front of your bangs
mm-hmm.
and
those go
basically
forward.
Go forward and curl down, and then you shellac the hell out of it.
Yeah, and then the top goes up and back. But I just had the top part.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Sure. I got some stuff I need to. I mean, there's actually pictures of me with bleached blonde, spiked hair, and mm-hmm. black nail polish.
Uh huh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so. I've got those too. I've got, you know, and it's so funny because, like, my mom, you know, nobody likes my purple hair.
Right.
Which, you know, okay, granted, your family's not going to like your purple
no.
hair. That's a given, right?
My mom didn't like my bleached hair, so.
Well, see, you know, they're always, you know, it's kind of like this running theme in my family that they want to tell me what to do with my hair. And I never fucking listen. I'm 35 years old. I haven't listened for 35
right.
years. Like, you'd think they'd get it, and they just don't. So I had it, like blue-black for a while. And I wasn't going for goth. I was going more for, like, Betty Boop kind of 40s.
Right,
you know, short
yeah,
and
yeah,
curly,
yeah.
you know, and I've got blue eyes and pale skin, so it kind of made my eyes pop, and it looked pretty good, I thought.
Right.
Well, then they just, for fucking years, just, oh my God, at least it's not that black. At least it's not that black. Okay, well, now that it's purple, my mom came at me with, do you ever think about going black again? Because that looks so good on you. I'm like, fuck you sideways. So I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm trying to decide if I'm either going to do purple or blue.
Right.
I may do blue just to piss everybody off again. Because I've actually gotten to the point where I want to do something wacky just to piss everybody off.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's actually one of my great joys in life is coming up with something new and bizarre every Thanksgiving. So my aunt will go, what have you done with your hair? Because she says it every fucking year.
Yeah. You know, now that I shaved my hair, I can't do that. But with the goatee, mm-hmm. I think it was one of the first times I started trying to grow out the mm-hmm. goatee. Because I've been wanting, you know, especially because I dress like a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get the goatee to go a little longer
yeah.
and maybe do something. But it never comes out right. Something happens.
Yeah, I actually
one side seems
now
to,
that I
yeah,
see. Yeah.
One side always seems to curl up more.
Yeah.
It starts going out. Like, you know, I got tentacles going off to one side. And it all starts sloping,
uh-huh.
sloping to the left.
Uh-huh.
So never, but one of the first times I remember doing it and going over to my friend Angel's house for her son's first birthday.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, my parents were there
uh-huh.
because this was the girl that lived with us. The girl that's pretty much like my sister.
Okay.
My mom takes one look at it and starts pulling on it going, so what's this? Why
yeah.
are you growing it like
yeah.
this?
Oh, God. Yeah, because there's nothing that makes you feel better than having your family point out all the things they don't like about your appearance.
Right. Well, it's
you know, or like the way my mom will always.
Yeah.
Oh, flesh rot, your skin is totally breaking out right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like, I didn't know that. But thanks for, you know, showing me that people are noticing. You know, I feel really good about myself, Mom.
Ear pierced. The main reason, one of the reasons I did it is because I had bought, working where I was working, had a mother and daughter that were working there, and they were selling those entertainment books. It's like, you know, a phone book thick, and it's got all these different coupons and stuff. Well, one of the coupons in there was, like, free jewelry or free piercing with the
purchase of the jewelry. Or something like that,
So I think it was earring. The earring emporium thing, it's, like, in the middle of the mall now, but it had its own shop at one point. And I went and did it, and my mom's, I saw the coupon, you know, before when I walked in with it. She goes, is this your way of trying to tell me you're gay?
Yes. Like, yes, that's exactly where I was going with that, Mom.
She wasn't wild about when I got the first tattoo, but it was okay because it was kind of small.
Yeah.
I think she'd probably freak if she saw, you know, if she was still alive and saw these.
Yeah.
And she's always been, well, what if you get a corporate job? You won't be able to wear short sleeves. You get all tattooed up. It's like, well, so I only make long sleeves, Mom.
Yeah, I mean, and, okay, my, shit, I just went crazy there with my, my stepdad used to tell me that I didn't know anything about the world. Every time I would show up with a new tattoo, he'd be like, let me tell you about the world. I'm going to tell you about how the world works one of these days. And I'm like, you know, you're 70. I'm 35. And there are more people like me left than there are people like you. Let me tell you how the world works. You know, actually, the only comments I've ever gotten on any of my tattoos, and I'm relatively tattooed.
Right.
Are, hey, nice suit.
Well, depend, you know? Yeah, I think the only one, you only really, depending on what you're wearing, the only one you ever see is really the wrist one.
Well, and I can actually even cover that with a watch in a job interview. So there's no point where this should really come
I mean, but I'm just saying, it's not like you're covered. I mean, you would have to wear something a lot more revealing to see most of your tattoos.
Right, and my nose is pierced.
Right.
I won't take that out. I took out my tongue ring for my last job, and I have resented that ever since.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, I'm just going to look for the kind of jobs where I can wear whatever the fuck I want to.
Right.
Because they do exist, and you have to look harder, and you may not make quite as much money, but this is part of me being happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got to be myself.
That's one of the reasons maybe Hot Topic got created. Is the people
or tattoo parlors.
Yeah.
Like, I could get on, you know, with tattoo. I mean, there are things, you know, creative fields where you can do stuff like that, and I just have to be able to find it.
Although,
or make my own job.
We actually had a friend of a friend who was, she's in the more of the goth punk, you know, the death metal hardcore, you know, the Misfits, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she went to go get a job to apply at a Hot Topic. This girl with long black hair, wears all the rings, wears, you know, the black t-shirt and stuff. She was told she wasn't, I guess, punk enough. To work at Hot Topic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's like, well, that you're discriminating.
See, you know, and here's the thing. Even with purple hair, I still get mammed. Like, the age shines through.
Well, it's not just that, but you're in the South. Yeah. Mam is a word that we've all been taught since birth.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know.
I mam everybody.
Yeah.
If I'm behind, the counter, especially, doesn't matter if the girl looks 19 or 90, mam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
I don't know. It happens a hell of a lot more now than it did when I was 25.
Well, people, it's like, well, it's just like slapping down some beer on, you know, with me, and they'll don't even look twice at me about ID.
Yeah, I know.
It's flattering, isn't it? Yeah. The only places that will ID you are places that are like, they have to ID everyone.
Right.
You know, it's mainly restaurants.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like we went. The Geek Gang had a bowling outing, and everybody who was going to drink the beer had to go to the place and show ID to make sure that everybody that you know that they had to not just carding the person who was buying the pitcher, but everybody who might drink from the pitcher had to go and show ID.
Yeah. I mean, even you know, even having a young boyfriend and purple hair and stuff, I still don't get ID'd for shit. They know.
They
know. You know, it's not like I'm trying to be younger or anything like that. But
well,
still,
high, but
you know, it's like, you know, you do notice these things.
Yeah.
So. So I had a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we still haven't introduced ourselves.
Hey, I'm Kinky. Flashmine.
I'm the geek, Mighty Bill.
Yeah, 15 minutes in.
Yeah, well, hey.
I know.
Weekend Justice actually went over an hour and a half before they did introduction.
Well, everybody knows who they are. Nobody's downloading that or this.
Yeah.
I mean, the introductions are just, you know, silly. Right. Movies,
yeah. I'm just saying that there was one time they started going, and it wasn't until almost at the two-hour mark they realized they had not played their theme music.
Yeah.
Nor did they do it.
Well, I mean, I don't think you always have to, necessarily.
Well, at least the theme music. You may not have to introduce it.
You see, ours comes in the beginning, so it's a good point. So.
Well, they always do a little bit and then kick into the, you know, like some shows do. But, it's pretty bad when you go that long and realize.
Well.
I think Cabin Fever's done the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit, we haven't said you hit the music.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am publishing my second article on EdenCafe.com. My first one was about, you know, going from being married and miserable and without sex to being, you know, kinky like I am. And then I just wrote one that's going to be out in about 2 weeks or about a week after this podcast is published on giving your boy anal sex. As you put eye drops in.
Yeah. I'm listening. But.
Yeah. So I'm jazzed about that.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah. And I actually did another small one that I'm going to submit today, so I haven't
heard
anything back on that. Having fun while doing BDSM.
Okay.
Like, you know, drawing smiley faces on people and shit.
Like our Twitter pic at one point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Although we weren't really engaging in any. That was post-
Yeah.
Coital.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. She left the note on my back.
Right. Yeah, the first time you and I were ever together, I sent Leisha a letter, a thank you letter, written in Sharpie on your back.
Which she absolutely loved.
Yeah, she thought it was funny. So, and that's, you know, Leisha and I get along.
Yeah.
On that level. So, you know, because she can kind of, she's not like, that girl is so fucking weird.
Yeah, I know. It's, but then again, I think Leisha kind of revels in.
Yeah.
In being no ordinary girl.
Right. So, and you actually wrote something, too.
Yes, I did. Basically, I guess when it comes to me writing, I got to kind of have inspiration.
Right.
So, and it kind of came, we happened to come across, it was a marathon of, True Life, which is a show I like on MTV anyway. It's their documentary. It's an hour. It's usually I'm blank or I have blank or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we came across a thing on polyamory. And I just decided to write up a little blurb about how it's kind of, you know, it came across as a fairly, I wouldn't say positive, but just... Mm-hmm. It was just... They didn't try to go out of their way to show it in a bad light, I guess. Because it was a 21-year-old girl going to school in New York who was, as she called it, polycurious, who was dating. It was her first girl she was dating who happened to have a boyfriend, too. And so it was a poly. She wasn't dating the boy. But she was dating the girl, so it was that kind of poly group. And then having to deal with the fact that she met someone she wanted to date who happened to be male.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was a gay triad where the person they were following mainly was kind of upset because there would be too many times where he felt left out.
Oh, right.
And wanted to bring in a fourth.
Oh, okay.
To make it a little more even, I guess, is basically. Okay.
So we're like two couples.
Yeah.
Than a triad.
Right.
Triads are hard.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I hear so many people who are just displeased with their triads for one reason or another.
Right.
I imagine there's instances where it works perfectly, but you just don't hear about that. As you hear more about the people bitching.
Well, in this particular case, it seemed like they didn't share a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It became an either or type of situation. Mm-hmm. You either slept with one person or you slept with the other, mm-hmm. which You know,
if yeah, it seems like it'd be better if everyone's seeing three, each other, yeah, than you're all sleeping in the same bed.
Especially since they were all living together.
Yeah, get a king size bed.
Right, get a king, and do that. I think the biggest problem I had was not as much the thing as I said, but it was the boy goes on a date without telling the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big no-no. There's no communication there. Yeah. And they do end up, this is what I thought was funny, is they go to a counselor who specializes in gay polyamory.
See, that's cool.
And it's like, you know, it's like, you know, I need to specialize in something. Yeah. What should I specialize in?
Well, you know, Joe and I talk, you know, every once in a while about bringing in, like, a sissy boy or someone that we both play with.
Right.
But only with the understanding that we are the couple.
Right.
And that would be like a one weekend out of every month or every 2 months type
thing.
Right,
right. It'd be more that swinging more toward open relationship or swinging kind of.
Not necessarily open relationship where we can just go out and see whoever we want to.
I know, but it would be a form. It would be more of a form of open relationship. But you two are playing together. Open playing.
Yeah, I see it more as playing together.
Right.
But yeah. So, I mean, who knows that, you know, I may end up with that kind of situation, or we may find out that just monogamy is fine, right. And you know, although I would like a pain slot, I've mentioned.
Yes. there's another one I want to find. I think I saw it once on Showtime, but I'd like to see it again. That was a documentary on swinging, and it followed three couples. One that was kind of turning into a triad, but one of them would get ultra jealous when the other one was involved.
Yeah, I hate that.
And she even, like, they were in, like, a big group thing with one of the other couples that the show was about.
Mm-hmm.
And she was all real happy when they were all, you know, ganging up on her, making her come, but then when it came to something else, she got all...
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, and... That seems to be, that's some of the things I tend to run, or at least I see, where it's, I'm poly to the point of I get to play, and if you want to go play with other people, then that's when I kind of draw the line.
Exactly. I have a set of rules for me and a completely different set of rules for you. That's just bullshit in any area of life, I think. But there are people who just, like, absolutely, you know, want their partner to be monogamous and devoted and want to go do whatever the fuck they want. And that's not fair.
Right.
Yeah.
And it tends to, I think there have been a couple of them, but the ones that I know of have been female.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the female that wants.
Weird. Yeah.
Where the female wants to go off and play, but then gets. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's what I'm talking about. Where the woman wants to be the poly person and the husband should stay home. And
right.
But the idea of another woman. It was kind of interesting, too, having this come across, is because I'm part of, at least on the emailing of Poly Southeast, and they got into a discussion about an episode of House that showed open marriage, where they had a woman who was coming in with all these different symptoms, you know, she was the case of the week, and she was in an open relationship, and they had the husband, I don't think, did, but he let her go off and play, but it wasn't a poly thing. It was a swinger thing.
More like an open relationship.
It was more open relationship. I think swinger tends to tend more towards
if
partners.
If you go as a couple and you split up and,
or even if you split up and go your separate ways, but you're still, both are participating, seems to be swinger. When you get to the open part, just open relationship, it tends to only be...
Or I see open more like... Okay, I see poly is, you have relationships with other people.
Right.
And you can have full relationships. And you can have primaries and secondaries, or you can not.
Right.
You know, just whichever works best for you. Open relationship is where both partners can go do their own thing, but it's just sex.
Right.
You know, whereas that's the relationship. So there's not really the possibility of having relationships with other people.
Right.
And then swinging is where you go as a couple and you go down to trapeze or something like that, and you get it on in a group or switch partners.
See, that's just it. I think swinging and open seem to be the same thing. It just depends on whether, but not. And now you can be a swinger, but not go to the clubs.
Yeah. Well, I see more of swingers playing together and going to events together, Whereas open, you can go your separate ways. We've all had our own different experiences.
Because the first time I played outside my relationship, I kind of came to the part where this woman wasn't poly. It was a swinging situation and then her husband couldn't handle it. Type thing. But yeah, because there's one point in the whole thing where the boyfriend shows up to check on her and the husband all nuts up because you're not supposed to be here. This is family. And, you know, even though he's concerned, but, you know, it's family and you're not supposed to be around this portion of it and this kind of stuff. And it was like, it did come across as a very unflattering view of the open relationship.
So many people just don't get it and aren't open-minded enough to try to embrace it that... You know, they want to see that dramatic
side. And the interesting thing of the whole thing was this is one of the newer episodes. So this was one of the new team that House has brought in.
Yeah.
And it's the older guy that's part of the team and who's married and he brings up the idea of open relationship with his wife. At first she nuts up, and then she says, okay. Mm-hmm. And then he sets up a date and can't go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And says, oh, I just want you. And then ends up going off with the girl you were supposed to have a date with anyway in the cheating fashion.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's like...
It's weird how many people prefer to cheat, because if you're lying to your partner, you don't have to broach the uncomfortable subject.
Right. It's the whole idea of...
You know,
it's better to ask for forgiveness and permission. I've got a friend whose sister looks down on her for being poly, but the sister has cheated on every boyfriend she's been with.
Yeah, see, that's bullshit. I mean, at least with poly, there's honesty,
right?
And there's respect. So. And I've cheated before. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I didn't know that much about poly to pursue that.
I don't want to call it cheating. Mm-hmm. It was more of I broke a rule again to where I slept with someone without permission.
Okay.
And to where that kind of thing. But this was towards the end of our relationship.
If you were in the context of a poly relationship, that's a shade of gray.
Yeah, but maybe, yeah, but it was.
We're totally monogamous, and then you can fuck someone else.
Yeah.
You know. That got intense.
Yeah. But that's
okay. So, but you didn't talk about where can we find your?
Oh, it's on the WordPress. On kinkyandthegeek.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Under the geek, you basically go down the main site, and they have the feeds to yours, mine's, and Aruka's.
Mm-hmm. At mine, I haven't written anything.
Right, and then you just click on that, and then it gives you another link to. It gives you my email and all that kind of stuff.
Actually, you know, mine should link to fleshfind.com.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I'll talk to our lovely web slave about that.
Yeah. And, there's two things up there I've written. One was the Chatticon review, and this one was it was Polly. It's called Polly on MTV, ?
Yeah, cool.
It's also got the most comments on it.
Yeah, very cool.
And I probably, cool. with the remark, you know, with the feedback I've gotten, I'll probably write something else.
Yeah, you should. Totally should. You should just, look for inspiration, though. You know, you can wait for things to just hit you, or you can be like, what am I kind of interested in right now? You know, and that's kind of what I find that I do as far as making myself write.
The bad thing is when I try to force something, like when I tried to do the review for Boondock Saints 2, just didn't come.
Well, but I mean, that just means, you know, that you should have maybe written a couple notes and then thought, okay, what am I passionate about right now?
Right.
Like, what's, you know, forefront in my mind?
Yeah.
I
listen to too much talk radio, so unfortunately a lot of what I listen to is politics, and we've decided to keep that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Out of it, so.
And I guess, you know, too, being an English lit major, and I've always been kind of geared towards writing.
Right.
Where I don't have, like, Phantom, he has writing assignments.
Right.
That he has to do every week, plus his need coffee stuff that he's been doing. And I have to put him on a deadline or he won't do it. It's part of my job as the Dom.
Right.
But he has a hard time, you know, just the sitting down and doing it. He's brilliant when he does it.
Yeah, there have been times. Well, see, the reason I say it like that is because I was going to do a write-up for Frolicon for it and couldn't get past first paragraph because it just, what I wanted to say wasn't able to come out.
Right.
I couldn't figure out, okay, what do I want? I want to say something here, but I can't word it the way I want to word it and make it sound, make it pleasing to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, that kind of thing.
Seriously, if you get stuck on something like that, text me or call me or something, because English lit.
I don't think I would admit that. That's the problem, is I couldn't
describe it
anyway. I couldn't verbalize it to myself.
I got really writing bullshit in it, you know.
Right.
Well, I've got an 8-page paper due tomorrow. I should probably start on that.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it was like, how it's like you want to say something, but you can't quite word it the way you want to word it, and you can't really come up with it, even like the, you know, I write good, you know, I is smart type version of it.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't coming, so.
Yeah, I guess that is, I don't have that, but I guess, again, yeah, it's the English lit.
Right.
So I just got, you know, kind of thrown into it.
I went to
it,
school,
so.
For, the little bit I went to school for was for computer, so.
Yeah.
I didn't have
a... Yeah, totally different skill set.
My thing was more reading than the English lit than writing it.
Yeah. Okay, so Phantom also sent me another website. Did you get to see this? I retweeted it.
Probably it's, not being at work. There's not a lot of...
Well, you've got that handy-dandy iPhone.
Oh, no. It's not being able to get to it is not being able to get to it. Because I'm at work. So I can't actually whip out the phone and read something while I'm in the middle of trying to work.
Fair enough. Well, it's a website that's going to have... It's $5 a month.
Are you talking about the...
Filthyfragments.com.
Yes, I did see that one. That was a while back. I thought you sent it today.
It's adult sexual comics, web comics, that are all drawn by women.
Right.
And nice and dirty. Like, they're really good.
I know two of the... I've personally met one, and then I know the other one... Gina, whatever her name, who does Red String, is one of Aruka's favorite things. In fact, she squeed. It was like we went to that was a different comic. But yeah, she goes to Dragon Con too. But Jeannie Breen, I've met.
Okay.
Hung out with some.
Well, it looks like an exciting site, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I was pretty pleased. It looks like there's some really great art up there.
All right.
What was one? It's called Sweet Girl or My Girl or.
The other ones I looked at were the ones that Gina and,
I don't remember the name, but it's all done, like, in pinks and blacks, and it's very lesbish, which, you know, I kind of dig. It looks like there are some good ones.
Knowing Gina, hers will probably have more of a sense of humor when it comes to the sexual,
side of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is actually one, I think there's one you need to read that's called Menage a Three.
I've seen that one.
Yeah. It's really funny. Especially, like, because you have the poor, shy, geek boy who's now living with the hard rock bisexual girl and the voluptuous French blonde.
Yeah, that's right. I have seen that one.
Who has no idea how gorgeous she is.
Yeah.
She thinks she's bad at sex because every man she's been with is prematurely ejaculated.
Yeah, that one's funny. And the bi girl's hot for the French girl, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen that.
They just had a recent one because the way the comic starts off is Gary has to get two new roommates because the two boys he's been rooming with
are
fucking. In fact, the reason he finds out, they're doing reverse cowboy.
I remember that.
No, they were just doing doggy.
No, somebody at some point they were doing reverse.
And that may have different. That may have been a different thing.
Yeah, I think
that's how they broke. Yeah. That's how they broke his drawing table.
Yeah, right.
No, he walks into them as one is butt fucking the other, and that's how he found out they were a couple. He walks in on them having sex.
Yeah, and they were going to move to their own place or something.
But the more swishy, I guess, is the best way to say it of the two. The more outrageously gay of the couple has the hots for Gary too.
I do remember that. It is a good comic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those where you get in the funky situations because the bi girl's ex-girlfriend, who is the drummer of her band, has penis anger,
mm-hmm.
Her father was a famous anime, a famous manga draw, a comic book author who dealt mainly in tentacle rape.
Okay.
So she's been, it's like the first time she tries to have sex with a boy, she ends up kneeing him in the groin because when she sees a cock, she sees tentacle.
That's terrifying.
But she's trying to get Gary to draw for him because they're going to make a manga of her themselves so she can show her father. And they come home, and the gay guy is dressed up as, because he's in a play for, I don't know what the hell the play is about, but it all stars comic book characters, and he's playing Black Canary.
Okay.
So he's in full-blown Black Canary drag.
Uh-huh.
And the crazed Japanese drummer thinks that that's Gary's girlfriend, and you should kiss her right. And he makes basically threatens him with nunchucks in case he kisses him. And and at one point, they end up, they're in bed. The Gary and because they're sharing a bed because he's been kicked out. It's completely platonic. Why they're naked, I'm not sure. But
well, sometimes you are.
Yeah, but the bi girl also has a thing about gay men, especially watching gay men.
That's right, I remember that. And she keeps trying to get them to do let stuff. Him watch. And,
and so she ends up.
Yeah, I like her.
She
yeah,
ends up posing
that.
Gary and. I forgot why she does. She's all messed up. Oh, I think she's messed up because she thinks the French girl is off having sex with her waitress friend because the waitress friend gets trashed and the hot French girl takes her home but doesn't come home.
Okay.
To do that. And so to make herself feel better, she's posing Gary and the gay guy together and taking pictures of them. So, but
I like that kind of stuff.
It's it is very funny. It's very well written. It's very well drawn.
I think my favorite is, what's it, XKCD?
I think I've seen
that. With the stick figures. It's cute. It's geeky. Like, uber geeky.
Okay. The only one I know is, with stick figures is Order of the Stick, which is the gaming one.
Yeah. No, this one's different. It's really good. A lot of physics humor. Because, sometimes you need some physics humor.
Right.
But yeah, you'll just see weird shit, but I like that one.
JJ's made me want to get the getting off comics and getting on the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
He was, the latest one, he was talking about the Muppet Show.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about there's one scene where it's Kermit holding an actual candle with flame.
Uh-huh.
And Kermit goes, and blows it out. And looks at the camera and goes, try to figure that one out.
Nice.
And it's like... You know, stuff like that makes you forget, because, you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it since I was late elementary school, back when they would rerun them a lot. Mm-hmm. And just because you could tell even back then that it was aimed more for adults.
Just
on the sheer fact that they got some of the people they got on
humor.
The show. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Vincent Price and Peter Sellers.
Debbie Harry. Even.
And Deborah Harry.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, that was kids weren't listening to Blondie necessarily.
Right.
I was, but yeah. Okay, I wanted to talk about our movie list.
Oh, okay, yeah, the horror movie list.
Which I should have brought up.
Well, that you were closing everything down to try to keep...
Exactly. We have this problem with the podcast skipping.
Yes, we think it might be the mic, and hint.
Yeah.
Donate, wax off back.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's going to be fabulous.
I don't know about fabulous, but I'll
it's
do
gonna
it.
It's going to be fabulous for me. You can see Flesh Vinyl gleeful and happy and... looking for the list. I'm getting there, I swear.
But yeah, this is the 10 movies that her friend...
Yeah, we've got my friend coming next week.
Do we have a nickname for him, or do we...
We're calling him A.
A, okay.
And he's someone I've known forever, and actually if you listen to Geekless Kink, I was talking about my friend who is, like, uber geek. That's him.
Okay, yeah.
He's also such a huge horror movie fan. Like, he used to have, like, cutouts of Bela Lugosi. Just super horror movie
fan.
Right. So I asked him, I was like, okay, give me the 10 horror movies I should see.
Right.
Not the most scary or the most well-produced, just the 10 horror movies I should see. Like, a general, shallow horror movie education, basically.
Yeah. Horror movie 101, almost.
Right. And he gave me this list, which I'm reading now, and we're going to watch all these, and discuss them with him next week to find out, you know, what were his reasons for suggesting these movies. So if you'd like to watch these, you're welcome to do that and, you know, play along.
You have a little bit of time to watch.
Yeah, and some of these are hard as fuck to find, which we're going to have to track down ourselves, so.
Well, that tends to be because not everything has gone, you know, from whatever to the latest medium.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's, So two of these we're both having some trouble with, but, okay, Bride of Frankenstein.
Right.
Creature from the Black Lagoon. Black Sunday. And it's not, you mentioned it's not...
It's not the one that involves the Super Bowl and a blimp.
It's the one that involves the woman with the mask.
Yes, she's executed for some reason and then comes back to take revenge on the family that... the ancestors that did this to her type thing.
Okay.
It's an Italian film.
Okay, he gave this, which is actually kind of a pairing, but he said he really couldn't break these apart in good conscience. What did he say? He phrased it way more eloquently than I just did, and you'll see that on the next podcast. Horror of Dracula and The Curse of Frankenstein.
Okay.
Shit, you know what? I think I do have Curse of Frankenstein. I need to send you that.
Okay.
I think that was in one of the ones that I downloaded. That's awesome. I thought it was a werewolf one. Anyways, Horror of Dracula, Curse of Frankenstein. That's considered one. Rosemary's Baby.
Right.
The Changeling. Not the Angelina Jolie Lee version. Was, yes.
This is George C. Scott.
Right. When was that done? Did you say? You said 70s, right?
Late 70s, early 80s, I believe.
Okay. Halloween, the 1978 version.
Yeah, not the remake.
Yeah. Suspiria, which is Italian.
Another Italia.
Yeah. The Shining.
The Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, we're 99%.
Well, sure actually, this is the way that they're just so you know, that they are differentiated.
Differentiated?
Yeah. If you're talking Kubrick, it's just The Shining. If you're talking about the ABC miniseries, it's Stephen King's The Shining because Kubrick and his estate still own the first Shining.
Well, we're going to get into that next week.
But I'm just saying that's how you differentiate between the two.
Yeah.
So when you say just The Shining, everybody knows you mean just the Kubrick version.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But, I mean, we just said the Kubrick version. Which I actually downloaded. I downloaded both and watched both because I like both. But we're going to talk about that next week because we talked about that in the car. Everybody has a lot to say about it. And then The Thing.
The Thing, yes. The John Carpenter version. So that was actually a remake too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I can't remember the name of the original now. But it's based off a short story, Who Goes There.
Okay. So those are 10 movies that we're going to watch by next week. And we're going to have my friend A on and pick his brain about why he chose those.
Right.
So play along, kids. It'll be fabulous.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, and there were some that we had seen. Like, we had both seen Rosemary's Baby. Obviously The Shining. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
I've seen Halloween. I've seen The Thing.
Yeah.
I've seen most of them by the time we do the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. The two that we're having trouble with are Black Sunday and The Changeling. There are torrents that exist somewhere, and I will fucking find
them. Yeah, it's hard because it's hard to find them on the other medium other than the internet. Better in the Dark did a whole show on movies that aren't in print that should be.
Right.
One of them being the Fred Ward Rima Williams The Adventure Begins.
Mm-hmm.
I think they basically said a bare bones edition came out on DVD long ago and is not in print anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, Cast a Deadly Spell. Mm-hmm. That was an HBO movie that was really cool. It was a again, Fred Ward, 1940s noir, but in this world, magic is an everyday thing and everybody uses it.
Oh, that sounds good.
And he played the detective with the last name of Lovecraft.
Oh, okay.
He was hired to find the Necronomicon as the setup of the story. Very Lovecraftian storyline.
Yeah, and actually, too, I found a bunch of torrents that are readings of Lovecraft stories. I've actually been listening to Call of Cthulhu, and I wish I knew who exactly it was who had done it, because it's a British guy. And it's been awesome.
Actually, if you like that, I need to get it myself, but the Lovecraft Historical Society did a movie version of Call of Cthulhu in the silent movie style.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is supposed to be a really good version.
Really? I'll have to look for that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I read it once in high school. I found it like really difficult to get through just because of all the flowery language.
Yeah, he is very.
It comes across better, I think, when you're listening to it. But I remember in high school just feeling like I had to wade through it, and I didn't enjoy it at all.
Right. In high school, when you're assigned a reading, you get that.
No, I wasn't assigned. This was my boyfriend liked it. And I was reading, like, Tolkien. I mean, I was reading flowery shit anyways, but this was just, like, over the top for me. So I've been enjoying that.
I've got a book that I've been reading. I picked up a book thanks to Neat Coffee, because during their 31 Days of Halloween, they did the whole daily reading thing.
Right.
Widge did Music of Eric Zahn. He did the entire Reanimator.
That's right.
In chunks.
Right.
And then during his live reading on Halloween Eve, I think it was, he did The Outsider.
Actually, Dan and I were talking about for the next Read or Die book, which nobody's reading any of it anyways, and we're sure as hell not going to ever get together to talk about
it. Right. It's because we have no leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone has to step forward.
And Din and Phantom are both kind of shy about things like that.
Right. Well, since it was their ideas, we need to beat them with sticks until they do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was so jacked.
He's got a lot of projects, though. I give him a lot of projects. She gives him a lot of projects. He's actually not. He doesn't have that much free time, actually.
Okay, well, I was going to say, then maybe Din needs to do it because, you know,
she'd be the logical choice, but I understand why she doesn't want to be English teacher again, you know, after having done it for 10 years.
Yeah, but it's not really English teacher, it's just...
Yeah, she'd still kind of be in that role.
I think she's going to be in that role no matter what, because she's the most literate of all of us.
By far. By leaps and bounds.
It's like, I'm only two classes away from my astrophysics degree. I just don't want to go back to New Orleans and teach.
Okay, well, speaking of, now that we're talking about Din, and she always gets so paranoid when I'm like, we mentioned you this week.
Yeah.
My app that I found is absolutely 100% directed towards her. It is just for her.
Okay.
And I should bring up iTunes so I can see it. It's a pay app. It's $14.99.
Ow.
Well, no, it's... Okay, and actually when I was looking for it, there's one for the California bar that gives you sample tests and examples of questions and things like that. That's $999.
Damn, TomTom's only $100.
It had 20 reviews, and they were all 5 stars. So apparently, like, a study... course for the California bar is like so hugely expensive that seems worth it.
Well, considering the bar, no matter where you take, it's a 3-day event.
So I can see where that would be handy.
Yeah.
But this app, Din, is called Papers.
Din.
and the description is Papers, your personal library of science and winner of the Apple Design Award for Best Mac OS Scientific Computing Solution on the Mac, is now available for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. Papers put your entire research literature database in your pocket, available at your fingertips wherever you go, whether you're at a conference, in class, visiting your peers, on the couch, or on the road. And what it is you can download all these articles from all these scientific journals.
Oh, okay.
And keep them on your iPhone, which kind of kicks ass. It's PDFs. So whatever,
which, yeah, if you're in the middle of something like that, you know.
Yeah, whatever your research project is, you can download all these, you know, articles from all these different journals.
Right.
And you have this research database, basically, on your phone or your iPad or what have you. So it looks pretty fucking cool. And it shows the articles, actually, the way they show up on the phone, the way it shows on this thing here, it looks like they're clear and easy to read. And you can connect to ACM, ADS, ARXIV, Google Scholar.
And EIEIO.
IEEE, Explorer. I don't know what any of these people are. PubMed, Web of Science. Like, all these different amazing journals. Yeah. So, Din, go download this. It'll be handy.
Yeah, I'm sure she, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because it's going to be good, because she does have scientific leanings, and... you know, is interested in biochem right now. So.
Yeah, so she'll do that part, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting. And she's a researcher. She likes research. So.
Yeah, she does. She likes dusty books.
Yeah, so I can...
buying a book and translating it into a different language. And,
well, yeah, but this has taken her in a different direction. And it,
I know,
still
I'm just
about
saying.
The
one
word.
Of the things she's done is she's gone and gotten, like, the Spanish version of a book and translated it into English so she could read it. It's like...
Exactly. Exactly.
Even though there's an English version of it, she wants the she wants it coming straight from the Spanish text. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
So, hon, that's for you. Let me know how it is.
Girl's got a brain on her that just
right.
That's almost as big as her heart. She's a sweetie.
Exactly. She's amazing. Love you, Din. And finally,
finally,
we put out a call for questions.
Yes.
Nobody sent us any questions.
Suck.
So what I'm doing instead is exposing some fabulously interesting Twitter chats that happened today.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, I started a new blog, and okay, this is me talking about something I'm doing again. It's salessupportsucks.livejournal.com, where I talk about some of my chats that I have with my customers when I'm doing sales support.
Online sales support, yes.
And some of them are hilarious. And the one that I posted yesterday was a guy who wanted to know, he travels, and he was trying to decide what size phone he needed and how much memory he needed. Because he needed to know how much porn he could store.
And you read the chat, and he wasn't being facetious.
Until the very end. He was like, I'm so glad that you can relate to real life issues. And I was like, so then he, he's like, I'm so glad that you could do that. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I would just look for videos and find out what they're, you know, and then kind of add and, you know. And he's like, I'll think of you next time I bust a nut. And that's where I got iffy.
I think that may have just been him being a tad on this, you know.
A chucklehead.
Having a little bit of a laugh after the relief of you not just completely flagging him and brushing him off.
Yeah, but I hear so much, you know, how big are your tits, you know, just...
Well, yeah, but this guy was, I think that was more being funny than actual saying, oh, I'm going to jack off on it while thinking about you type thing.
Well, so the conversation today was about the, you know, because so many of us are iPhone users, AT&T, the rumor that they are releasing they're getting rid of the unlimited data plans. And there was so much reactionary rage to that. But when you actually look at your usage, I use nothing but data, and I have my phone constantly in my hand and constantly going.
Right.
I use less than a gigabyte per month.
Right.
It's actually going to save me money. And it's going to save like 90% of AT&T users' money.
Also only will affect you if you decide to change your plan.
Right. You
if
don't
you
have
already
to.
Have, like I do, the unlimited data plan, it's there unless you go and change your plan yourself.
Or do things like upgrades or things like that that kind of force the issue.
Yeah, but that's changing your plan. But yeah.
No, it's not.
Well, if you do anything to your account the way you have it now,
right? Then it'll force the issue.
But
well, so that was going around on Twitter, and everybody was just so furious and pissed off. And I'm like, hey, listen, you know, do just a little bit of research.
I think it's just because I think a lot of people read Gizmodo, which is
and just
where it
get
came
furious,
from.
and
it was the, I noticed that, you know, because Felicia Day put up. Mm. You know, that's how I found out about it. Yeah. She put something up about it.
And everybody retweeted
and her tweet. Yeah. I did that. I did that so you would know. And so people would know where this was, you know, what was out there. And because you read the Gizmodo, and it was more...
An opinion.
More of an opinion than an actual article. Which, unfortunately, you see a lot more of. Yeah. Especially in some of the newspaper stuff, where they're not... Well, it's also where an article should just be nothing more than giving you the facts of what's going on.
Right.
Where, you know, the opinion page is for the opinion, and this one was more opinion along with information. But then again, this is also an internet site, and they do things a little more, a little differently.
Well, what happened because of that is that our friend Aston G came back with, "Hey, Fleshvine, how much porn does one use on their data plan?" And I actually did some research, and I found out that an hour of streaming video uses between 128 and 300 megabytes, depending on the format and how you're watching. Is it from a streaming site, or is it something that you download to watch whenever you want? Okay, so he translated that into, okay, thanks for that. That equals about 45 strokes per minute. As he does.
Yes.
We love you, honey. At which point, because I don't let shit go, I'll just keep going with it. I was like, really? So you're a slow stroker too? So, you know, I've been meeting a lot of slow strokers. Wasn't talking specifically about anyone.
Right.
And then Phantom chimes in, yeah, I'm slow and overhand. And I'm like, God damn it, baby. I wasn't trying to expose you. I was just saying, okay. Right? So then we kind of get into this whole thing about, you know, how everybody likes to stroke off. Because Twitter's just a hotbed of that.
Right.
And
I'm sure you were hating every second of it.
And then so Phantom comes out with the whole conversation, because we were having this conversation by chat, and I was cracking the fuck up because it was a funny-ass conversation. And he's the one who brought it up. Again, not me. The boy is uncut, and he thinks he is. But he's got a foreskin, you know, a very healthy, well-developed foreskin. So we had the whole discussion about whether or not he's uncut, because he doesn't think he is, and I'm like, baby, I've been at face level, you know, and I've seen some penises, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not like I'm, you know, all, oh my God, this is both my first penis I've ever seen in my life, you know?
Both in real life and in virtual form.
Yeah, there have been some penises that have come through my life, and he is one of the two uncut men I've ever seen. So I just figured, I just wanted to say really quickly that in the beginning, I always tried to, you know, stay real, you know, I tried to be respectful of, you know, his privacy and everything like that. He's the fucker that keeps bringing shit up on Twitter. My lovely, uncut, sexy boyfriend with his foreskin.
Right.
And
which I think uncut kind of covers.
We're going to end up posting pictures, seriously, because he's like, we need a third party. And I'm like,
Just put warning up. You know, here, hey, Scott, here's a picture for you.
Right.
And then if I know that, when I see, if I see Scott C's name in the tag, then I know not to.
Yeah. And he's all like, honey, hi, you know, protect me from Scottums and everything. And I'm like, you're fucking egging him on.
Right.
So
you're waving your cock in his face.
He's not innocent, and he's not private. And, you know, any time that you think that he's all sweet and innocent and I'm corrupting the boy, just forget it. Him with his, you know, fabulous foreskin.
Are we just going to... Is that what the...
Phantom's fabulous foreskin.
Yeah.
We should make that into, like, a comic character. Oh, like, draw,
you do realize you've just given, Aston, you've just given Aston, because he has taken and made, he made Chuck
Run
versus
with it,
Mal.
Run.
Into,
yeah.
But there are pictures of Chuck versus Mal.
Okay. I'll send him pictures of Joe. Phantom's fabulous foreskin.
Either that, just send him a picture.
There's
of
no
a
mistaking.
Random, just make him, just give him a random picture of an uncut cock and say, go
I,
for it.
Know,
just do what
I
you
mean,
need to do with
if,
it. And
if it's all covered up with skin, there's just no denying that. What that is there, covering it up. And he's like, no, I'm just like a big dude. And I'm like, I've seen big dudes who were cut. It looks totally different. And he actually, I was like, baby, you need to go ask your mom. And he did. And she said he's cut. And I'm like, okay, they fucking lied to her and ripped her off her money. Or they did, you know, like sometimes they'll do like a half cut.
Right.
Maybe that happened. I don't know. Maybe his foreskin hung down to his knees before. I don't know.
That's a lot of foreskin.
Because he's got a lot now.
You could take a wallet, rub it, and turn it into a coat.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, leg warmers at the very least.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
South Park episode with medicinal marijuana.
Yeah.
And when Randy finds out, Stan's dad finds out that you can get, he tries to give himself cancer.
Oh.
And he realizes that the testicular cancer seems to be the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
Where he ends up putting his balls in the microwave and turning it on. And he ends up, his balls end up turning up the size of a hippie hop.
Uh-huh.
To where he has to walk around with his balls.
Oh, nice.
And, a wheelbarrow.
Nice.
And he's at one point, he talks to everybody else. The other guys are in his like poker group because he's sitting on his balls on the seat.
Uh-huh.
At one point, the wheelbarrow breaks and he's hopping down the street on his balls.
That's awesome.
He basically tells the other guys that the girls won't stop looking at his balls. So at one point, there's a line of about six guys huge balls bouncing down the street.
That's awesome.
But at the end of it, he finally goes and gets it fixed and had to make a coat for his wife.
God, that's a scrotum nasty. Coat. Because every girl needs a scrotum coat.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So you just talking about that just made... Oh, Lord. There was something that they were about using.
Yeah, where they grow human... Actually, he sent me a link where they will take a culture of your bone. They surgically take your bone and they grow it into a ring shape. And it takes like 4 months for them to grow these cells that they take into a bone ring actually made out of your partner's bone. It's like...
No, this was actually...
That shit's kind of nasty, actually.
It may have been... Was it something... They said on Cabin Fever on the news. But basically being able to use the foreskin for something medical because of the nature of the skin.
Uh-huh.
It was like a burn graft or something like that.
Oh, that would totally make sense,
where
actually.
You could use it to, because of the nature of the skin, you could do it with...
It apparently heals really fast because you can be circumcised as a kid.
Yeah.
And there's no scarring or color change or anything like on a circumcised person. So apparently it's magic.
Yeah, well, magic, I guess so, but I wonder where mine's not that magic because mine stayed away.
Yeah, yours did not grow back magically like Phantom's must have. With no scarring.
Which is funny because there actually are groups that try to teach you how to regrow it.
Yeah.
Like stretching the skin and stuff.
Well, and I actually saw that because I was looking, I was like, can they grow back? Like, I was like, am I imagining this? I don't see a scar or anything that would vaguely suggest that the boy has been cut. But yeah, they had a whole thing about tugging.
Yeah.
And that's like the cheapest way to do it is to kind of like pull the skin and just keep working at you know, half an hour a day.
It's basically for guys that want to, you know, because there's been the whole philosophy now because from
it back... It increases sensitivity.
Right. But back since, you know, it used to be only, you know, of course, only the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
But for the longest time in the United States, if you were born in the United States, you got circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Or foreskins.
Right.
Unless you were Jewish and then they had the moil do it.
Right.
You know, you had to keep it up.
Ritualistically.
But they did have some problems. And I think it happened here. Because they would use, they got to a point where they would use the lasers to pick up the foreskin.
Mm-hmm.
And... Something was wrong with the infant, the one they would use in infant, you know, in the birthing room.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the big one and burned the poor little boy's penis off.
Aww.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And they basically went through the whole thing of, I think the only thing they could really do was start him on hormones, create a vagina, and start raising him as
that
a girl.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible. God, can you imagine growing up with that? I mean, like, you know, honestly, my hip problems.
Right.
You know, the reason I had to have... That was a a fuck up when I was born.
Right.
Where they used the tongs.
Right.
And I was born with, like, bruises all over my hip, and that's what cut off the blood supply.
Right. That's why they're not supposed
to. But that's minor compared to being, you know,
gender,
brought up as a different gender.
What is it? Yeah. Gender,
yeah, because that'll fuck you up.
Recertification.
Yeah. That'll fuck you up.
Especially once you find out. If you're a boy, right. You find out you're supposed to be a girl.
Yeah.
What was it? There was a, there was an episode of,
True Life?
No. This was, one of the Law and Orders.
Oh, okay.
The Special Victims Unit.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had a case where, they thought it was a boy. They found out it was a sister, and then they found out that something happened, and they were having to do the whole, you know, since the kid, and we're talking 12, 13-year-old
mm-hmm.
Kids, and basically found out the sister was actually the brother
mm-hmm.
of twins,
mm-hmm.
that something happened, and they had to do the whole, you know, regenerifying the one child,
mm-hmm.
and at the end, she ends up cutting off her hair to match her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychiatrist that has been working with them since they were young ends up murdered.
Oh.
But they have an alibi.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see who did it, so you don't know which one of them did. You know one of them did it, but mm-hmm. you can't prove which one of them did it because they're exact twins, so they have the exact same
weird.
DNA.
Okay.
DNA, so.
Huh.
It's one of those interesting.
Yeah.
In fact, there actually is a True Life on, gender relocation, I guess.
Yeah, I have seen reassignment. Yeah. I have seen that. And there were actually a couple specials that were run on Logo that were about people who are getting ready to have surgery, people who elected not to have surgery for their own reasons.
Right.
There is so much to that. I mean, it's huge. Just the. Well, I mean, I can say just for me, having, you know, gone over and realized that I was gay and then realized I was bi and just having made the, as far as my sexuality, but that has not so much to do with my body.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be just like such a huge mind fuck.
Yeah. I mean, considering the sheer amount of psychological profiling you have
right.
to go through before you're even considered for.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all basis for Signs of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're at 1:07.
All right.
Was there anything else?
No. We were. Oh wait, zombie dice.
Oh yeah, that was fun. We had a great time with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I had a birthday.
And you won twice, yeah. three
yes.
times, twice. Yeah, you
yeah,
won
we
twice.
Played twice. Yeah,
you kicked my ass because I'm stupid and kept rolling like an idiot. It's kind of a pressure luck game.
It's a Steve Jackson game. It's another dice game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot easier to learn than Cthulhu, because you don't have as much, you have to, and you don't have any other pieces but the dice.
Right.
And I guess the best way to describe it is kind of press your luck, but with brains.
Right.
Where you basically play a zombie, and you have several sets of dice with a shotgun blast, brains, and feet, like a trail. And what you do is you have 13 of them, you keep them in your, you shake them up like a Yahtzee cup, take three out, roll them.
Right.
If you get brains, you put them off to the left. Mm-hmm. If you get a shotgun, that means the person fought back.
Right.
They put it off to the side, and you can or if you get feet, they kind of stay in the middle. That means the person got away.
Yeah.
And then you can either elect to roll again or just add up what you have and go on to the next player. Because if you get three shotgun blasts in your turn,
you lose all your brains.
You lose
and
your turn's over, and you lose all your brains of what you. What you've accumulated that round. And it's real simple. I mean, it's literally...
You try to get to 13 brains. Whoever gets to 13 brains first, i.e. you, wins.
but yeah, it's very fun. Very simple, very fun.
I'm sure I'll like that game at some point, but I just have to win
once
or twice.
You just have to win,
really,
or you'll just call me names. Like,
although, your birthday party, he kept winning Cthulhu.
And I'm the one getting called the misogynist bastard.
Right,
so
that's
Jen.
Not right. That's not right. That was a fun night.
Yeah, we had that was what we did last weekend was that my friends had a Memorial Day /
and that was
my
fun.
Birthday. Yeah.
I like your friends a lot. Yeah, I'm not a social person.
Right.
I mentioned that on the last cast. You apparently disbelieved me because you're like, why don't you mingle? I'm like, I'm not a mingler.
Yeah.
But they were lovely. They were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. And E, the guy
the who host, threw the
party,
yeah.
He came and played Cthulhu Dice with us. And, yeah. So.
He's kind of one of those social guys that will
yeah.
give something a chance and kind of
yeah.
keep everything going. And
yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, I got to see some people I hadn't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. In fact, the girl that was just all giddy about being zapped. I brought my violent wand and kept that's it in the right. car until, you know,
yeah.
until some interest. And the minute she heard violent wand, her yeah. eyes got all giddy. And
you did have a lot of people at yeah. one point. Yeah, myself included. And I actually got A to come over because he had never felt one.
Right.
So I got him to come over and try it.
We even got a Ruka sister to
yeah.
try it.
And yeah.
Her eyes got wide and didn't yeah. want to get zapped again.
Yeah. It's trippy. It's, you know.
I have a feeling that if it was a different party, we would have had a naked female guest that wanted more than just having her arm hit.
Surely.
Her arm hit, yes.
Surely. Actually, if it had been a different party, most of those girls would have been naked.
Yeah.
The kind of parties that, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The kind of parties I want to go to.
Right, right.
Yeah.
like the Frolicon room,
yeah.
you know, room happenings.
Yeah, because I know Decadence is coming up soon.
Well, they have them once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then this month is coming up.
Yeah, okay.
Fairly soon.
Yeah, see, I don't go. All my exes are usually
yeah.
in attendance, so.
We do need to take Aruka there just to check out the
Aruka
the
needs to go, A needs to go, and Joe needs to go. I need to take Phantom.
And our anonymous friend needs to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The anonymous friend could go. Lots of people need to go.
Yeah.
So we should go and bring a posse.
Armed with laser tag. Or at least finger guns.
Exactly.
Everybody get your finger gun permits.
Exactly. Get them ready. Go shopping for your weapon.
We might get kicked out of school, but
right, yeah. right. Okay, so go ahead and pimp yourself.
All right. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Gmail. Mm-hmm. mytbill.bill@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I have my part of the WordPress at kinkyandthegeekwordpress.com. Yeah, or .wordpress.com.
kinkyandthegeek.wordpress.com. Yeah.
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 And just look for the links to Mighty Bill, which will also have my other links.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Multiply video I made. MightyBill.multiply.com, which I haven't made a video in a while.
Big. Yeah. Yeah.
Just trying to figure out something to talk about.
Right. Bring out the wand. Show all the different attachments.
You don't want to get your wand near your computer.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Tesla coils and your electronic equipment.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't go away. That's
fair
why
enough.
I hooked it up
damn,
so far away from
the... Damn, that
would have
been really good, though.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, you could show it without hooking it up.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, because normally when I talk, it goes, bing, yeah, I should talk about that.
Right.
But bringing up wand just doesn't go,
bing.
Just goes,
it
okay.
does, it goes,
it goes, yeah,
bing.
Yeah. It goes,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, but, Fat Life, Mighty Bill.
Twitter,
Mighty Bill. Be quicker to friend you on Facebook than on Twitter than I would Fat Life. I tend
yeah.
to keep my Fet Lifes and my Facebooks to people I've actually met physically
yeah.
in the real world, although there are some exceptions for Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And those are mainly the podcasting people.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm at fleshfind.com. I'm fleshfind on edencafe.com. I'm going to start throwing that in there. Fleshfind on Twitter. Fleshfind on Fet Life. What else have I got?
Did you do your Gmail?
Yeah, fleshfind@gmail.com.
KingyandTheGeek
@gmail.com.
Again, if we get some clamoring, maybe a Facebook, but we're
yeah,
not really
we
hearing
just,
much.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything and
no,
not that
no
worried
one's
about
pretty
it.
Much said anything, yeah.
But and there's one final thing that I'd really like to pimp.
Okay.
That is Phantom's fabulous foreskin. Everyone should see it. It's fucking
and
glorious.
I do believe we have the title of this week's episode.
Excellent. He'll love that because he's so open and fucking honest with everybody. And that has nothing
hey,
to
he,
do with
he
me.
He brought it up. He knows you have a web.
He totally brought it up. And I was actually looking through my phone. I don't have any cock pictures of him on my phone. But I know I've got some I took with my camera. And
you've got some with me.
Yeah. I don't send them to anyone.
Yay. Well, you did send to an anonymous friend.
Well,
but I told you
yeah.
to send them to an
yeah.
anonymous friend.
And I only do that if the person says, hey, could you send this to so-and-so? Yeah. And I'm not seeing them.
Yeah.
Like, I would, even if Phantom was like, hey, could you send this? I'd be like, no, fuck you, you're my boyfriend. Why are you sending out cock pics? You know?
Because Katsu really wants to see him.
See, I might do it just for the foreskin thing, because he just...
You opened this can of worms yourself, dude.
You did, baby. I love you. I love you so much.
But she will show your
foreskin
cock
boy.
Off. Yeah. She will show your foreskin off.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people are saying, picture evidence.
Yes.
And, yeah, you did this, baby.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, love you. Okay, so that's it.
Yep, that's it.
Be good.
Or be a foreskin at it. Foreskin.
Show us pictures. Send us in pictures of your foreskin so I can show it to him and show him how similar it looks to his cock. That'd be great.
Again, warning so I don't open those emails.
Yeah, just call
if
it
you're
foreskin.
You're a female
picture.
And wants to show me your boobs. Yes.
Yeah, subject is foreskin picture.
But
yeah.
If I want to see a cock, I'll look down.
Right, right. But have you seen an uncut? Well, yeah, you watch porn.
Porn, yeah. Okay. But still, I don't really need to see outside of porn, other people's cocks.
Well, and what's funny is actually on Eden Cafe, someone did an ode to the foreskin. And so I wrote this thing about, yeah, my boyfriend, you know, is uncut and I really like it. I like the way the skin sits over the head and all this stuff. And I sent it to him. And that's how the whole discussion got started. So it is a beautiful, gorgeous, glossy, perfect foreskin, huh?
Okay, now that
be proud of your foreskin.
Now that we've done our third or fourth Lord of the Rings ending, we should end it now.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Bye.
Bye.